Hello and welcome to Journey of the Monkey King, a chapter by chapter discussion of Journey to the West with myself, Quiva, and my friend MJ.
Hello!
So we are on to chapter 24, and when we last left the group, they had just found Zhu Baji blindfolded and tied to a tree. Wukong unsurprisingly laughs at him, and he starts mocking him. He shouts, "Dear son-in-law, are you still having a grand old time playing games? Where's your mama? Where's your wife?"
Ouch.
Wu Jing feels sorry for him, though, and he unties him. And on being freed, he drops to his knees and starts praying towards the sky, and he promises never to do anything like that again and to stay faithful to the pilgrimage.
Okay. You know, I think some consensual chasing of the ladies is the least of. You know what? We'll continue. We'll just continue. Gods are, he's cool with the gods. Happy to keep going on his merry chaste way.
Yep. So, heading out on the road again, they eventually, after a long time, come to the Long Life Mountain. A poem puts that as part of the Kunlun mountain range, which doesn't narrow things down as much as you might think, because that mountain range is more than 3,000 kilometers long. It more or less forms the northern border of Tibet.
Right. Big mountain. Big rocky boy.
The scenery is so beautiful that Tripitaka remarks that they must be getting close to the Thunderclap Mountain and their final destination. Wukong laughs and says they're nowhere close, which prompts Wu Jing to ask how far away the pilgrimage is actually taking them. So apparently the pilgrimage is 108,000 miles and they haven't even covered a tenth of that yet.
Ah, shit.
So Baji asks how long it's going to take.
Are we there yet?
Yeah. Wukong says for Baji or Wu Jing, it would take about 10 days. For Wukong himself, he could do 50 round trips in a day easily.
On brand, but whatever.
But for Tripitaka, he says, "You can walk from the time of your youth till the time you grow old, and after that, till the time you become youthful again. And even after going through such a cycle 1,000 times, you may still find it difficult to reach the place you want to go. But when you perceive, by the resoluteness of your will, the Buddha nature in all things, and when every one of your thoughts goes back to its very source in your memory, that will be the time you arrive at the Spirit Mountain."
All right, ways to go.
The pilgrimage may in fact be some sort of allegory. Not
Maybe.
Sure.
It's certainly possible. How does Tripitaka feel about this? Does he fall off his horse?
No, they just continue climbing the mountain after that.
Okay, he's serene about it. It's very monk-like, very...
Yeah.
Well, I mean, monk-like in the way that we think of it, not in the way that Tripitaka knows it is, where they will steal your shit.
Yeah, Tripitaka knows what other monks are like.
Yeah.
So he doesn't trust them. So, climbing the mountain, they eventually come across a Taoist abbey called the Five Villages Abbey, where a Taoist immortal named Master Zhen Yuan lives, who goes by the nickname Lord Equal to Earth.
Interesting. So this, I take it, is a foil to the great sage Equal to Heaven.
Yeah, we'll see what he's about. Not actually so much in this chapter yet, but because on this day he happens to be away attending a lecture on the Taoist fruit of the chaotic origin from the celestial worthy of original commencement, and he took 46 of his 48 students with him, leaving two behind to take care of the abbey. And their names are Clear Breeze and Bright Moon.
Is there any particular reason they didn't get to go? Bright Moon, not so bright?
No, there's no particular reason given. Someone had to stay behind and mind the place, I guess.
Yeah, fair enough. Short straws.
Maybe it's because they're so young. Clear Breeze is only 1,220 years old, and Bright Moon only just had his 1,200th birthday.
Babies.
Yeah.
Oh.
The book refers to them collectively, repeatedly, as the two immortal lads, which are two words I find very strange when put together.
I don't know. It kind of sounds like, you know, a GAA dream team.
The immortal lads.
Can you picture me, Holden Wertig, saying that? Yeah. That is absolutely fabulous. It's the two immortal lads tearing down the field there. That is not the best Mihol and Wirtig impression you will ever hear, but it is not the worst. Trust me.
Have you considered going into GA announcing?
I think I just get away with saying random bullshit because I know fuck all about GA. Because I grew up in South Kilkenny, where hurling is a religion, and I grew up as a queer autistic kid. A queer undiagnosed autistic kid in a very small rural primary school. So all I knew is they gave the fucker sticks, and I have been somewhat averse to GAA ever since. So I don't know. I could just say random words, I guess.
You've got the voice and the tone down though, and the what's the word I'm looking for? The kind of rhythm and tenor of it,
the vibe of it. I used to work at a call center, that we will just refer to as it's for a mobile network called All the Things in All the Places, and an outsourced call center that we'll just call Bunch of Bastards. And
I think you have brought this up before.
I possibly have in those very words, comedy. But we were dealing with the UK market, and when we got put on the late shift, which is like half one to 10, sometimes we would be the only team left on the floor. And if there were no managers around, one of the lads on my team would take calls as Mihol Ó Muirtig. and if you are not Irish, that is you got it from context earlier, I take it. But the Brits had no fucking clue what was going on, and they just thought he was a really enthusiastic and helpful Irishman. And we would just be there just fucking pissing ourselves. Because we took our joy where we could.
We've gotten a bit sidetracked. It's been a while since we had a good, proper, completely inane tangent.
I know, we were doing so well. We were doing so well. Anyway, the two immortal lads who I am now will be picturing at all times in jerseys and carrying hurls.
Yeah, that's exactly how they're described, actually.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, great.
The Lord Equal to Earth is an old friend of the Gold Cicada, which is Tripitaka's previous life. And he knows that Tripitaka is due to come through these parts any day now. But he couldn't turn down the offer to attend this lecture, but he left instructions with the immortal lads to treat Tripitaka as a guest and offer him two ginseng fruits. So The ginseng fruits, the abbey has a one-of-a-kind tree that is so old, it's older than the division of heaven and earth from chaos. The fruit it grows is called the reverted cinnabar or ginseng fruit, and it takes 3,000 years for the plant to bloom, another 3,000 for it to bear fruit, and another 3,000 again before they ripen. And after all of that, there's only 30 of them, and two of them have already been eaten. So there's 28 of these pieces of fruit in existence.
Now, I don't know if it's all the fuckery with the Immortal Peach Festival or the Catholic trauma, but I am wary of magical god deity fruit trees. I feel like nothing good is going to come out of this.
I feel like you won't. I feel like the next thing I'm about to say won't make you change your mind.
Won't shock me. No. Okay.
The fruit looks exactly like a newborn baby.
Like, are we talking sort of like a mandrake from Harry Potter situation? No, like
indistinguishable.
Screaming? Like, is it making noises? Is it flopping about, doing baby stuff? You know, gurgling? They gurgle.
They're generally not described as, like, being animate, except in one place where they're described as crawling into the ground. We'll get to that, but generally, they're not described as moving. But
this is a pregnancy dysphoria dream that I had.
So can you kind of guess what will happen if you eat one of these fruits?
Maybe do you become immortal?
Not quite, actually. So
no,
okay. Eating one will let you live for 47,000 years only.
Only that, okay.
Smelling it is enough to let you live for 3,060 years.
Oh, does it smell like a baby's head?
The scent is not described.
Right, okay.
But it doesn't quite make you immortal. Just 47,000 years.
Yeah, okay. Well, if that's all you're getting.
Hardly seems worth it.
You could get a good few trophies in that time with the immortal lads and Sam Maguire. That's football. I don't know which one it is. There's, yeah, I feel like I've beaten this bit to death with a hurl. So we'll
don't make me try and remember, because I will just embarrass my family, because I do come from like a very GA family.
I don't know whether to look this up or to annoy my friend who plays Camogie, because I do like annoying her. But so Liam McCarthy, which is a Watford name, even though they have not won it in 50 years. By God, are they hopeful? God love them.
We got to the final. You know, yeah, that counts
over
for something.
Over and over again. It's very. Just push the fucking boulder up the hill. Yeah, anyway, that's limited Irish sports knowledge.
So
welcome to Literary GAA Analogies with Quiva and MJ.
I can't let my family listen to this episode now. I've shamed them.
Your family listen to this and I am allowed on oh dear, okay, that changes a lot of things. Anyway, how long after you eat the baby fruit, how long do you live for? What is it, 47,000 years? Okay, so still not enough for Waterford to win the Liam McCarthy.
Oh, okay. Harsh.
I'm from fucking Waterford. I was born there. I don't know why I'm doing this. I don't know. I like trolling people who know lots about sports. Like just pretending I know what I'm on about, but being extremely enthusiastic about it. it's not fun if they know that you're taking the piss. You just have to be like, oh my God, yeah, no. My favorite rugby player, your man with the head. Ah, yeah. Did you see when he made that effort? Oh, geez, he nearly broke his arm on the bar there. Amazing. It really annoys him. And I like that.
Were you using effort as a synonym for try?
Yeah, a little bit. I'm glad you think it was funny. The large clongos lad didn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So anyway, the Lord equal
it's
to
the baby
Earth.
Fruit.
The Lord, equal to Earth, told the two immortal lads to treat Tripitaka as an honored guest and give him this fruit. But he does warn them that Tripitaka's disciples may be somewhat rowdy. And
it
might be best not to let them know about the fruit.
Okay. Interesting.
I mean, he's right.
He's very right. None of them should know about this. I mean, they've all got priors.
So, in any case, the pilgrims find their way to the abbey. On the side of one of the inner gates is a couplet. Long living and ever young, this immortal house, of the same age as heaven, this Taoist home. Wukong thinks that the Taoist who lives here is mouthing big words just to intimidate people, and he says that even in heaven, Lao Tzu didn't hang such lofty statements about himself on his door.
Jesus, in my day.
In my day.
So so this is Sun Wukong, the great sage equal to heaven, the handsome monkey king. he thinks this guy's plaque is a bit much.
Yes.
Grant, sure, okay, that's fine. You do you. Sun Wukaren, always going to find something to complain about.
So, okey-doke. They're greeted by clear breeze and bright moon, and there's some more back and forth that I find a bit difficult to understand, if I'm being honest. But the final takeaway of it all is that Wukong basically thinks they're full of shit.
And
up themselves. Tripitaka tells him to calm down and be respectful, and he sends them all off. He sends Wukong off to graze the horse, Wu Jing to tend the luggage, and Wu Neng to go get and prepare some food. The two immortal lads are impressed with Tripitaka and go get the ginseng fruit for him. They have special implements for this. They have a wooden tray covered in silk handkerchiefs to carry them, and they have a gold mallet for knocking the fruit from the tree.
So they just want him to tap something that looks like a baby on the skull.
Yeah, so they...
The lifelong vegetarian, they're asking him to... Okay.
Yeah, no, they present the fruits to Tripitaka, who immediately asks them why the fuck they're trying to feed him babies.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because the fruit...
That is a damn good question.
Yeah, he's understandably distraught by being given a tray of two babies and being told to eat them.
And a hammer! It's just like, a tray of two babies and please eat this. That's something you can... maybe brush off. Yeah. But a tray, two babies, and a hammer.
So the hammer isn't for eating them. The hammer is just for knocking them off the tree.
Oh, that's okay then. That's fine. That's okay.
Yeah.
Anyway.
But yeah, the two lads try to explain that they're actually babies, that they're fruit. They grew off a tree, and Tripitaka just like shouts, "People don't grow on trees. What the hell are you talking about? Take these away."
Does he at least smell them?
He does not.
He could not.
So, not knowing what else to do at this point, the two lads take the fruit back to their own room and eat it themselves, because otherwise they'll just go bad chatting about what just happened. But their room happens to be right next to the kitchen, and the walls are very thin.
Oh no.
So Baji, while cooking some rice, can hear everything they're saying. And so when Wukong is on his way back from grazing the horse, Baji calls him over and tells him the abbey has a treasure that Wukong has never seen before. And Wukong says, "You must be joking, idiot. 500 years ago, I traveled all across the world. What can there be? What can they have here that I've never seen?"
You ever seen a baby tree?
Baji asks him, "Have you ever seen the ginseng fruit?" Wukong is like, "Oh shit, no, I haven't. I've heard of that. Where do you get it?" He obviously doesn't say, "Oh shit, I added that." Just to be clear, the text does not say, "Oh shit." But
damn.
That's kind of the, you know, it's the tone. He's surprised.
Yeah. What?
Yeah, they have fucking ginseng fruit here. Shit. So Baji explains everything he overheard. And after the two lads leave their room to go talk to Tripitaka again, Wukong sneaks in to steal the gold mallet. It's about 2 feet long, as thick as a finger, and with a knob on the end the size of a clove of garlic.
Okay.
So Wukong heads out to the garden where he finds the tree. It's over 6,000 feet tall and the base is 60 or 70 feet in circumference. I don't know exactly how they didn't see this from the road, but all right.
Maybe they just thought it was another mountain. No, it's one of those fancy wooden mountains that they have over here.
Interestingly, the largest living tree in the world is a circumference of about 100 feet. So this actually wouldn't... This would actually not be the thickest tree in the world as it stands, which is just interesting. There are actually redwoods thicker than this. It is an order of magnitude taller than the current tallest tree, though, so there's no trees that are 6,000 feet tall.
Right. That we know of.
That we know of. So Wukong is easily able to climb it, though, as he is literally a monkey. And he gently taps one of the fruits with the mallet, which immediately falls. He climbs back down, looks everywhere for it, but he can't see any trace of it. If he figures it does have legs, but even if it could walk, there's no way it would be able to climb over the garden wall. He figures maybe the local spirit of the garden might be trying to stop him from stealing the fruit, so he recites a spell to summon him. The spirit explains he didn't do anything. The fruit is affected differently by the five elements. It falls if it touches gold. It withers if it touches wood. It melts if it touches water. It dries up if it touches fire. And it is assimilated if it touches the earth. So when Wukong knocked down the fruit, when it hit the ground, it crawled into the earth. That's where I describe it. Describes them as crawling into the earth. That's the only time they're ever described as animated.
Okay.
So as a result of this, the part of the garden where it fell is now indestructible for the next 47,000 years. Which I think is just kind of funny.
So you can just sort of earthquake-proof your house by building it from earth and clay and then chucking a bunch of baby fruit at it?
Yes, but there's only 27 of them in existence now.
It would need
sorry,
to be
not,
a very
sorry,
earthquake.
Not 27, because the two lads ate two as well.
There's 25.
Yeah.
Five left.
There's 25 left.
It would need to be a very, very earthquake-prone region for that to make any sense, yes.
So Wukong tests this out by smashing at the ground with his rod, which bounces off without leaving any mark. He believes the spirit after that, so he climbs back up the tree and he stretches out his shirt to make a basket and knocks off three more fruit to catch them and knocks off three more fruit and catches them in his shirt, and he brings them back to the kitchen. So when Baji sees that Wukong has the fruit, he calls in Wu Jing to share them. So they're gonna have one each.
Well, I mean, that's better than what happened at the last Peach Festival Wukong was at.
Yeah, he's learning to cooperate with his brothers.
It's a step.
So Baji immediately swallows his whole. Then, regretting not having savored it at all, he asks the others how it tastes and starts asking Wukong to get him another one. And Wukong, of all people, actually calls him out for not knowing when to stop. And he says there's only 30 of these things in existence, so, like, we should probably stop here.
I mean, yes, it coming from Wukong, that's not great. However, this is the guy who was aghast at that little plaque, him with his 20,000 titles, so... bit of a hypocrite is Wukong sometimes.
You could also maybe see it as he's kind of becoming a bit more humble, maybe.
Okay, that's fair. It could be character development.
If you want to be generous to him. So.
Okay.
Anyway, Baji kind of gets a bit... what's the word I'm looking for? He gets a bit fussy over this and he just starts muttering to himself loudly about not getting to eat any more ginseng fruit. And he's doing this when the two lads happen to return to their room again. And again, the walls are really fucking thin. And they just, they hear him muttering this. They notice that the mallet has been moved. They are getting a bit worried now. They head out to check the garden to see if the tree's okay. And they notice the gate's been left open. And they're really fucking panicking now. So they run out to the tree and count the fruit. And they realize that there's four missing.
Shit. Okay. Yeah. Well, what are the immortal lads to do? Did they grab their hurls and...
So they go directly back to the main hall and start screaming abuse at Tripitaka. They call him a larcenous baldhead and a thievish rat.
Okay.
Tripitaka asks them what the hell they're talking about. And Clearbree says, "Are you deaf? Am I speaking in a barbarian tongue you don't understand? You stole and ate our ginseng fruit." Tripitaka asks, "What's a ginseng fruit?"
Yeah, I feel like there's been... there hasn't been a lot of very clear communication. I'm wondering, you know, maybe a trip outside of the monastery might have done these lads some good.
So they explain that it's, you know, the fruit that we offered you that you said looked like an infant. And Tripitaka says, you think I'd steal one of those? I wouldn't even touch it. And so Clearbreeze, like, rolls back a little bit and he says, "Okay, you may not have eaten them, but your followers said they wanted to steal and eat them." To which Tripitaka says, "Yeah, that might be true. I'll ask them."
Yeah, that tracks. It's probably them. Yeah. Oh boy, okay.
So Tripitaka calls out for his disciples to join them, and they immediately suspect they've been found out. So Wu Jing starts to panic, but Wukong knows what to do. The three of them just have to come together as brothers and lie their arses off. Just deny everything.
Yeah. Lie.
That's actually the end of the chapter. The cliffhanger is them just deciding, oh yeah, we're just going to deny everything.
Yep. Okay, well that was... I am still profoundly skeptical about religious or magic fruit trees. I don't think they're a good idea. they generally lead to trouble. And don't have one in your garden.
Sound
don't plant
advice.
One on your balcony.
What am I going to do with all these magic fig seeds that I bought?
I mean, you could sell them to some schmuck, but I wouldn't have them around. You know.
So, MJ, you've seen the cover art that I'm going to use for this episode, right? The photo of the ginseng fruit babies.
I've seen it, and I will never unsee it. It will haunt my dreams forever, Quiva.
So, do you want to guess how I... Do you want to guess how I found that image?
Wikimedia comments. It gets really, really weird if you look hard enough.
No, I do use Wikimedia Commons a lot, but it's actually a photo that I found across several different online storefronts, Amazon, AliExpress, eBay, and lots of ones I'd never heard of people listing ginseng fruit seeds for sale.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh no. Like with the full kind of selling you immortality thing?
They weren't promising immortality, but they were like promising like rare spiritual fruit and things like that.
Don't fuck with magic fruit, people. Even if it is legitimate, which I have my doubts. I don't want to slander anyone here, but I have my doubts. Even if it is, just don't mess with that. Also, I thought you said stormfront there for a second instead of storefront, and that went. What?
Yeah. No. It is a real photo, though, and I haven't been able to find the original photographer for credit, but I know what it is. They're actually two pears that have been grown inside a plastic mold.
Ah, you can do that.
Yeah.
Okay. That's interesting.
There's a company called Fruit Mold that sells them. They also sell like heart-shaped and square molds and a couple other things. They also sell miniature lingerie to put on peaches because
I love that that's a market. I love so much that that's a market.
Because you know how peaches like, sort of look like an arse?
Little peach thongs?
Yeah, exactly.
I love that they're in business. Well, they may be a front. But I love that they're in business. Though I would say I get the concept, and I get that name very much describes the concept, but I would be reluctant to buy anything from a company that's called Fruit Mold.
Yeah, that has another name, or that word means there's another thing that word means.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a knee-jerk, visceral thing. I mean, it's descriptive, but also, yeah. I love the peach thongs though, and I wish them best of luck in all their endeavors. Thank you. You go, Fruit Mold Company.
Yeah, that'll be that can be what we put on our Sunwoo thong shirt,
yes.
The slush shirt.
It's like a pineapple that says the famous slut pineapple.
Yeah, except it's a peach.
Also, our friend Felix has one of those, and it's wonderful.
Christ.
We could just sell thongs that said don't go to the peach festival. If we put it up on like Redbubble or something, I think you can select. That's why there's like an Archive 81 bikini out there. Because nothing says fun in the sun like eldritch horrors on your boobs.
Okay.
I didn't order one. I was tempted, but I didn't. I ordered the crop top. But yeah, this is now apparently a plug for a podcast just plugging Archive 81. Listen to it. It's really great.
Also, yeah, it's almost as good as Journey of the Monkey King.
Almost. There, we do have about 70% less Lovecraftian content. But yeah. Good podcast. Favorite audio drama. No evil peaches yet, but they're only in their fourth season. So, you know, I wouldn't discount any evil fruit shenanigans.
Any sexy fruit shenanigans so far? Has there been any pineapples or peaches and thongs?
No slutty fruit in general. Very little fruit content overall, I must say. Which, you know,
I think this is getting a bit away from us. I think we should probably end the episode on here.
Okay, follow us on things in the show notes. The username, it's pronounced it's spelled Taoiseach, so you know, and it's pronounced Taoiseach. So have fun with that.
Yes, just Taoiseach, nothing else. That account definitely belongs to MJ.
My politics took a hard right turn in the last 2 days or so. Taoiseach, oh trash. Is there an official Taoiseach Twitter account? I'm not actually sure there is. I know there's a department of the Taoiseach Twitter account.
I'm pretty sure there's one for the president.
Anyway, follow us for more slutty fruit content. Slutty and evil fruit. The fruit isn't evil because it's slutty. It's we're not.
Bye.
Slut,
bye.
I'm not.
Bye. End of recording. Bye.